Matthew chapter number 16, verses number 13 through number 15. I am a force to be reckoned with. How often in life you find yourself hanging around people, doing things, and when times get a little tough, the very people that you're hanging around, you discover they don't know you, and you really don't know them. Isn't it a horrible thing to find yourself caught up, jammed up in a mess, only to discover that those that you thought around you was there for you, to discover that now they're gone? You have to choose your inner circle very, very carefully and with much prayer. It is the people that is around you that has the power to destroy you. See, we go through life and we deal with our enemies. We say we'll feed you with a long-haired spoon and we keep them away. And what we do is we allow some people to come close to us who are really our enemies. And you wonder why your prayers is not getting through. You wonder why the third friend always know what you told the other two. You wonder why somebody always know where you're going before you get there. You got to be careful with your inner circle.
Amen.
Now, Jesus chose 12 men, and he chose those 12 to be close to him. But you can be physically close and emotionally and spiritually far away. Just because someone is hanging out with you doesn't mean that they're there for you. Sometimes people want to see where you're going, what you're doing, so that they can try to steal from you your dreams. Sometimes they want to take from you the plan that you shared with them. Be careful what you tell people, because when you begin to release things to people, sometimes they feel as though, I can do that. I know how to do that. If it'll work for them, I could just go ahead and do that. But listen, when God bless you, God empowers you for the blessing.
Right.
When God empowers you for the blessings, no one can do
Amen.
What you can do.
Right.
You see, sometimes people will look at you and they will try to measure you, try to size you up based off height, weight, and education and all this stuff. But that's not you. Who you are is that you are a spirit. Your body houses the spirit. If somebody comes against you and trying to attack you based off what they see, they'll get a beat down every time. Because you came thinking that you were going to get what you saw, and what I gave you was some faith. What I gave you is some declaration. What I gave you is what God told me. That's why you can search throughout the Bible where you can find the impossible. Like David get a little stone and all of a sudden this big giant is knocked over and killed. See, I'm sure there's nothing special about David. I'm sure David was just like you and I. But when God touched the stone and anointed the stone, that stone has some power. I need for somebody to know that God is touching you and he's giving you some power. I'm talking about some Holy Ghost power. But you can't get caught up with what other people are saying. Now, Jesus knows how to paint a picture. And so sometimes the way that you paint the picture is by asking indirect questions first. What that is that sometimes you don't want to ask a person, what do you really think about me first? You begin by asking them, what do they say about me? Because it's the safety of they will allow them to tell the truth. Don't be fooled. When they say they said this, they may say two things, but the worst four came from him. Under the cover of they said. And so Jesus asked his disciples, he says, whom do men say that I am? In other words, he's looking at a public response. Now, a public response allows you to share what you know. In order for me to know what somebody else thinking, I gotta hang out with you. Don't believe for a second that you have a friend that hangs out with your enemy and still is a friend of yours. You can't do that. See, because if we are friends, there are three things that need to happen in order for us to be friends. The first thing is that we must be in partnership with one another. The Bible declares, how can two walk together unless they agree? You can't agree with me and agree with my haters. You got to decide what side you're going to be on. And so the first thing is that we have to be in partnership with one another. The second thing that validate a friendship is that we have to be praying for one another. If you love me, you're praying for me. Because what you understand is that I'm going to fall short, but the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And if we are friends, don't leave me in the dark. If what I'm doing is jacked up, help me. Pray for me. Don't talk about me. Pray for me. And when you begin to pray, you need to know that God will avail. God will revelate. God will show me. The third thing about friendship, the validation of friendship, is protection. And protection is, if we're in a friendship, you're not going to allow hurt, harm, or danger to come against me. And so when you are protecting me in a friendship, that sets the atmosphere in which I can open up to you. Yes. Now, when I begin to open up to you in a relationship, in a friendship, I have to make myself vulnerable to you. In other words, sometimes I bear all to you, but in the process of bearing all, I still need you to cover me because I'm exposing my weakness to you. Now, when you expose your weakness to a person, please, for God's sake, don't ever make them mad because they know exactly where to drop salt in your game. You meet a lot of people in life, but the truth of the matter, only a few that you really can call friends. See, when you're going through something, I don't need to have a partner that I can just hang out with. I need a friend. When I'm going through something, I need to be able to bear all. I need to be able to say it all. I need to be able to cry and not worry about you thinking that I'm weak, but you saying, that's all right, I got you. This is your low season, but we're in partnership together, and I'm going to cover you. I thank God that Jesus is a friend to you and I today. Won't God cover you when everybody walk out on you? God says, I'll be a friend that's sticking closer. Fellas, whom do men say that I am?
All right, man.
Well, some say that you're John, and some say that you're Jeremiah or Elijah or some of the other prophets. You see how people can list a whole lot of stuff when they say, when what others say, well, they say this and they say this, and Jesus comes. comes a little bit closer and he says, now you've been walking with me.
Yes.
Now you supposedly know me.
Mm-hmm.
Whom do ye say that I am? Now you know me.
Yes.
See, because the problem is, if they said that and we're in friendship together, why didn't you correct them? Coming closer to your house. You can't be in friendship with someone and allow someone else to talk about your friend in your presence. That's a fight in and of itself. You know, sometimes you have to check people. Hold on a minute. Now, wait a minute. Now, John is my friend. You may feel like that, but you can't tell me that, because I'll fight for John this morning, because I've been down and out, had no friends whatsoever, and John stood with me. I'm sorry. You may feel that way, but you can't talk about my friend, not to me. And Jesus says, whom do ye say that I am? So he took from them this public thing and he made it a private response. Whom do you say? It causes you to examine your heart. To say, what have I been to you? Now, I may have wronged BJ, but what have I been to you? Because sometimes you'll find yourself in a friendship with one person and you fall short over here, and he'll leave you based off what you did over here. You got to know that when you're in friendship with someone, that even when you're wrong, they'll still lift you up. They want to prove your wrongness, but they'll help mature you. And that's what it means to be perfect. It means to mature. It means to understand that we fall short, but every day God is growing us up. See, the problem is that you think that you have arrived, so you can judge me when I fall short. So you can look at the little spleen that is in my finger, but you forget about the beam that is in your own eye. Uh-huh. You gotta know the people that is in your inner circle. So Jesus says, whom do ye say that I am? And Peter, as always, Peter says, thou art the Christ. Now notice what he says in saying thou art the Christ. In other words, he's saying you are the anointed one.
Yes.
I know you. I've walked with you. I've watched you, I've examined you, and I know that you are the anointed one. People in your life will look at you and they should know one thing about you, and that is there's an anointing that is upon your life. No, I may not be Jesus, but I still have his anointing upon me. I may sometimes fall short, but I still got an anointing that is upon me. You see, the question this morning is this. How will you respond to Jesus? See, Jesus asked a question, and the question that he asked is, whom do ye say that I am? The true issue is not what do they think, but what do you know me to be? You've been walking with me. You know who I am. You need to listen. You need to show your friends who you really are. And that is, you are the anointed one. They need to see the power that is in you. And what they need to recognize about you is that you are a force to be reckoned with. In other words, don't come to me with no foolishness, because I ain't going to put up with it. You may look at me and you may think I'm weak, but baby, you better know that there are some things in life I'll fight you all day long about. See, sometimes in the body of Christ, we just, I just pray about it and turn it over to God. And sometimes God is saying, no, baby, get up and fight that battle yourself. Pray and ask for strength. Operate in your anointing, but tie a head up yourself. Sometimes you got to put up the deuce. Sometimes you got to sit Satan down. Sometimes, you know, Moses, one day Moses was praying, and Moses praying, and Jesus said, I already answered your prayer. It's time for you to get up right now and fight. And some of us, we've been praying long enough. Now, I don't mean stop praying, but I do mean you got to put some punch churches with your prayer. When you begin to knock Satan upside down, inside out, then he realizes who you are. I'm talking to somebody this morning that when God comes into your life and God speaks the word in your life, you got to understand that the first thing that God is always trying to get from you is for you to change your focus. And so he asked Peter, he says, whom do men say that I am? In other words, your focus is wrong. You're looking at what they say. I don't care what they say. I know who I am. I'm a blood-born child of God. I am created to be the head and not the tail. I'm the barber. No, man. I'm the lender in this situation. You gotta know. Listen, don't let nobody put no label on you. Don't you let somebody tell you who you are. People will always say you're this and you can't do that and this and that about you. I know who I am. I know who I am. And so what people do is that people will always try to put a label on you. When people can put a label on you, then they can control you. Because the label is to get you to conform to what they said about you. I don't have an issue with nobody labeling me. It's all right if you label me. I have an issue when I get in your box. Because the traditions of man will make the word of God of non-effect. I'm not sitting in your box, baby. I'm breaking out of your box. I'm going to bounce back. I'm a child of God. I know who I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I know who I am. I'm a conqueror. I know who I am. I'm not going to fit in your box. Now, just because you said this is who I am, that doesn't make me believe that. He gets you to change your focus. When you begin to change your focus, he then works on your faith. In other words, faith is believing, not in something, but in someone. Watch this and don't get confused by this. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is, here's the characteristics of faith. Faith is from a Greek word, pistis, which means persuasion in someone. In order for your faith to work, it has to be attached to someone. That someone must be Jesus. I can have faith in a clock, but if it's not attached to Jesus, it ain't no good for me. I'm glad my faith is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. I'm glad now faith is all the components of faith. Allow me to trust in the God that I never seen, but every now and then I can feel him moving in my bones. The God that I never came face to face with, but every now and then in my midnight hour, I can see a Shekinah of glory of the God that I serve. Have you ever been dark, dark, dark days? And in the midst of your dark days, you saw light. And when you saw the light, God says, come unto me, all ye that is. In the midst of going through something, God is saying, come to me. He says, I'm going to ask you a question, but what makes the difference is how you respond. God wants you to respond to him in the affirmative. When God says, come unto me, the only answer that he's waiting on is yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. I'll do what you tell me to do. And you know, when you call yourself coming to God, baby, you got to pay a price to come to God. Because Satan then is going to come after you. And when he comes after you, he's going to come really to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember this Peter that is doing all this talking. Jesus said about Peter, he says, listen, he says, one day, Peter, he says, Satan came to me and he desired to sift you like wheat. He said, I know what Satan has in store for you. He says, but I'm going to cancel that. He says, but. Now, but in the Greek language, cancel out everything. You can't relate to that? Watch this. I love you, but. I'll loan you $20, but. I would tell you what I heard, but. See, but cancel all that stuff out. And Jesus said to Peter, he says, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He says, but. about that. Don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about your bank account. Don't worry about the medical report. Don't worry about your educational level. Don't worry about unemployment. But you got to know the God that you serve. Baby, he can make a way out of no way. You got to know the God that you serve. God will jump and step all over your butt, all over your hind part, all over your inabilities, all over your life, all over your negative accounts, all over your doubts, all over your fears. But God is saying, but if you turn it over to me, I promise you, when you turn it over to God, sit back and God says, now just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get a little lazy sometimes. I don't want to go to work. And Jesus says, just stand still and watch my salvation. All you got to do is just fall down on bended knees. And when you're down on bended knees, he says, just cry out to me. And see what God is moving you to do. It's just to come on down, baby. Come on down. One thing I discovered about God is that the power is on the floor. The power is not when I'm big and bad. The power when I bow down and say, Lord, come in my life. Lord, change me around. Lord, fix my situation. The power is always on the floor. Peter said,
thank you, Lord.
Peter said,
thank you.
Thou art the Christ. His response was, I know who you are. You are anointed to do what you've been doing. You see, you want to know why you haven't got caught up in your mess yet? It's because God has anointed you for this time and this season. When everybody else is looking at you and everybody else is trying to wonder, how you making it? Come on, somebody. I need to talk to somebody unemployed. Somebody with 3-4 kids, bills past due, and you still got a smile. I need to talk to you right now. Don't fool me. And you know your neighbor's looking at you, and they wondering, how you making it? Have not lost not 1 pound in the recession. How you making it? Had it not been for the Lord on my side, where will I be? If it had not been God kicking open doors, making ways for me, where will I be? If it had not been for me bringing it back to God in the form of tithes and offerings and watch him multiply, watch him press down, watch him do his thing. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? You see, the response that God is waiting for is the response, and when you say, God, have your way. You see, sometimes in life you just have to turn it all over to God. What is your response? I want to leave you this morning with 3 responses to God. When God says to you, who am I? Your first response is praise.
Alright now. Alright. Praise.
He knows your situation.
Yes.
He knows your circumstance.
Yes.
But he says, give me some praise.
Alright now.
But God, I don't feel like praising you.
All right now.
God, the situation is not right to praise you. God, how can I praise you when I think that you are against me? How can I praise you when she got the promotion and she lied on me? How can I praise you when I just got laid off? How can I praise you when my house just went into foreclosure? How can I praise you when they just took my car? Because God says, I'm not attached to that stuff. That stuff. He said, I'm not a stuff. I'm him. When you attach yourself to God in the midst of going through something, he says, I dwell in the praise of my people. You want God to show up in your life? Be a fool and start praising. I'm unemployed, but boy, I'm still praising him now. As a matter of fact, because I'm unemployed, now I'm got to get up and go to work. I got more time to praise him. And somehow, in the midst of praising him, he sent somebody by my door. And they seed into my life. The mortgage. He sent somebody else, and there goes the car payment. And he sent somebody else, and there goes the bill. Won't God fight your battle? He says, if you begin to praise me, I know times are tough, but come on and give me some praise. Come on and give me some praise, like things are going well today. Come on and give me some praise, like you just got your breakthrough. Come on and give me some praise, like cancer just left you. Come on and give me some praise, like I just answered your prayer. When you begin to praise the name of the Lord, he says, my praise, as you begin to praise me. You praise me, and I dwell in my people. You praise me, and I show up. You praise me, and I get rid of depression. You praise me, and you feel so much better. Have you ever been going through something, didn't feel like praising, but every now and then that old leg will kick up, and you'll get your praise on, and then the other leg will kick up, and the next thing you know, you dancing for the Lord, and you got your praise on, you got your praise on, and then when your praise get on, then praise push you into an area, and now you begin to pray out to God, and say, Lord, I'm going to praise you in the midst of this thing, but I'm going to add something to my praise. I'm going to add a little prayer. If you don't mind, just let me petition you. Just let me tell you what's on my heart. And he says, now listen, once you begin to pray out to me, and you got your little dance going, and now you're praising God, and you begin to pray to God, God says, here I come. Here I come. I'm showing up. You told me where to come. You told me where to come. And so here it is. You begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, God says, I'm going to show up in the midst of your stuff. You see, when God allows you to stir up the spirit in praise, he takes you deeper in prayer. Praise is the outer court. Prayer is the inner court. You get that? See, there's some demonic spirits that is chasing you. And they can touch you in the outer court. In the outer court, I'm not totally protected. Now, I can dance and pray, but I'm not totally. So, praise take me to the inner court. In the inner court, you can't touch me. In the inner court, your enemies may not like you, but they still bless you. Anyway, in the inner court, that's when God says, I'll make your enemies your footstool. That's why them fools keep blessing you, and they don't like you, and they can't even figure it out. Why did I just promote that person? Why did I just elevate that person? Because I shifted from my praise. I've gone into my prayer. And don't let me start praying and then mess up and start in my prayer language. And I confuse somebody. And I begin to speak in tongues. And the devil don't know what to do with me. And he has to back up. And then when he backs up off me, because I move from praise to prayer. And then the last place that God allows me to go is that he puts me in a position in which now I receive the power. That's why when I pray, I don't pray in the name of Buddha. That's why when I pray, I don't pray in the name of the checkbook. That's why when I pray, I don't pray in the name of a resume. That's why when I pray in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible declares, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, Satan will get out of there. At the name of Jesus, God will dispatch his angels. In the name of Jesus, that's when you get your breakthrough. I want you to begin to praise in the name of Jesus. Begin to allow God to come in your life.
Thank you, Lord God.
You gotta know who you are. You gotta know. You are a force to be reckoned with. And the force that you are is the same as Christ. You are anointed. what they say. You're uneducated. You got 3 children. You're going to be just like your mama. Just like your daddy. Baby, that ain't me. That ain't me. That's what they say. That's what they say. But what God said, He says, you're anointed.
All right now.
Don't God sometimes tell you some things about you?
Yes, He is.
And you have to wonder if God really knows you? Sometimes God will speak something in your situation when it's really bad. And you say, God, if you really knew me, you wouldn't say that because you don't know my situation. And He says, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know who you are. And more importantly than I know who you are, I know whom you belong to. Morning to encourage someone to stay encouraged, because you are a force to be reckoned with. Stop operating based off what they say. In me, inside of me, greater is He. The He is not John, Bob, Frank. The He is the Holy Spirit. Greater is the Holy Spirit in me than my desires in this world. You see, God says, you've already overcame. Overcame what? Whatever it is that you're going through. You already have victory before the thing starts. It may take a while for the manifestation of it, but in the meantime, you got to keep on praising. In the meantime, you got to keep on praying. I need to talk to some folk who's standing in the meantime. I'm talking about you caught between a promise and something bad pressuring you right now. I need to talk to somebody who's standing in the meantime. I'm talking about you know God's going to do it, but He hasn't done it yet. And I'm not ashamed to say it looks bad right now in the meantime. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their faith. I need to talk to somebody who's in the meantime right now. With what God spoke in your life, you see no sight of it. Not even sure if that thing will happen. But in the meantime,
yes, Lord.
I come too far to turn around.
Yes, God.
In the meantime.
Yes.
In the meantime.
Yes, God.
I just gotta wait. In the meantime. In the meantime, while I wait on you,
yes, Lord.
I gotta trust you.
Hallelujah, God.
While I'm waiting on you, and everything is opposite of what I'm praying for, I still gotta trust you.
Yes, God. Yes, Lord.
I'm releasing. I'm talking to somebody who is standing in the meantime. You're not where you used to be, but you haven't made it yet. Just caught up in the meantime. Just waiting on God. God that I serve, He'll never leave you, never forsake you. You're going through something, and people get real spiritual on you. But I'm caught up in the meantime. On the inside, I'm dying. I'm hurting. I'm scared. I don't know if I'm going to come out of this thing. In the meantime. Faith in God. But this thing is not unfolding right. God is taking too long. And I'm not saying don't trust you, God. I'm just saying, where are you?
Thank you right now.
I hear everybody talking about God always steps in. I'm talking to somebody who's in the meantime. And your question for God is, God, I want to see that God that they've been talking about. I need to see you. I don't need somebody else to tell me their testimony. I need to see you now. I need you to show up in my life right now. I need to see you now. I need to see you right now. I need a miracle right now. I need a promise right now. I need a manifestation right now. In the meantime. In the meantime. In the meantime, I need to see you right now. I need to see you. I know who I am. I know that I'm a force to be reckoned with. Come on, God. Come on, God. Come on. No, no, no. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I don't want to see it in my next check. His will. That's why God takes so long sometimes. Because he wants you to get all of it. And if you move too fast, he releases something that you're not ready for. Just want to encourage someone. I just want to encourage someone. God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through.
Yes.
He's going to do it.
Yes, he is.
He's going to do it.
Yes, you are, Lord.
He's going to do it.
Yes, you are, Lord.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it.
Yes, you are, Lord.
He's going to do it. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son. If he said it, it shall be done. In the meantime, you just gotta wait. In the meantime, he knows where you are.
Thank you, Lord.
He knows where you are.
Thank you, Lord.
In your meantime, give him some praise. Give him some praise. Allow the praise to move you into a place of prayer.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Prayer is when I begin to tell God.
Yes.
Not what's on my heart. Hear me. Prayer is when I begin to tell God what he told me.
Yes.
That's why Jesus said that you have to pray the will of your Father.
Yes.
When I begin to pray, I say, God, this is what you said to me.
Yes.
If I can repeat back to God what God said to me, it's his word he has to
do. Yes, yes,
yes. You act like you don't know what he said to you. He said to you, that I'll supply all of your needs. I don't know what your checkbook looks like. I don't know what your finances look like. But just say that to him. You said you'll supply all of my needs. Not according to my job, my resume, but according to your riches. Tell him what he told you. You find yourself going through something.
Hallelujah, God.
Enemies are all around you. You say it, Lord. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. That's what you say. And see, I know that you can't lie. So I need to say to you what you said. And then I need to become a coward and just hide behind you. And let you fight my battle. And let you make ways out of nowhere. Let you keep on blessing me. Let you keep on opening doors. Let you keep on being my battle line. Let you be my bridge over troubled water. And do it in the power of his name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on and stand with me this morning. Come on and stand with me. In the name of Jesus. Come on and lift your hands. Father God, we stretch. We stretch to thee. No other help. I know. God, we surrender to you right now. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your way. Father God, there's a releasing and an outpouring of your anointing in this place. I wish somebody would just reach out and receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. That thing that you came in here expecting, just reach out and just receive it. I want to challenge you to do something as we stand in the presence of God. I want to challenge you to pick up the pace. Well, what do you mean, pick up the pace? I want you to begin to expect God to do more. I want you to begin to expect God to do more. Now, the Bible declares that in the end time, there'll be a transferring of wealth. Listen to me. Every time anything has been transferred in this world, it has happened during great tribulation. I'm talking to somebody.
Thank you, Lord God.
You scared that God is going to take your stuff. And God is concerned that you won't lighten up so he can give you some more stuff.
All right, now.
If God wanted to take you out, he would have took you out a long time ago. God is transferring. God is shifting. God is shaking him right now. Don't be concerned about what you see. For you walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes, God.
Others may fall all around you, but not you. You are forced to be reckoned with. I know you're tired. I know you get weak. I know you. It gets lonely sometimes. I know you cry out sometimes, and if you wonder, God, does anybody hear me? He got you. I just want to minister to someone right now. Just want to speak encouragement in your life right now. He got you. He got you. You worried about your child? He got you. He got you. You worried about somebody else or someone else's action? Baby, you can only control you. And that's some of the time. The truth of the matter is sometimes we disappoint all of them. But thank God that He's a forgiving God. Want someone to be encouraged this morning. In spite of what you're dealing with, what you're going through, God got you. He got you. Maybe there's someone here while we're standing this morning. You don't know Christ as your personal Savior. If that's you while we're standing this morning, and if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, we want to extend an invitation to you. Take a step out of this center aisle right here on the wall and just come. Jesus says, come, come, come. If there's one here without a church home, one here not sure about your salvation, we want to challenge you to come. As the deacons come forth and we open the doors of the church, we want an extended invite to someone. It's a very, very simple invitation. God says, come as you are. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, just come with everyone this morning. You need a church home? Not sure about your salvation? Just come. Maybe you backslid into the world and God is saying, turn it around. Turn it around. If that's you, you come. This morning, you need a place to worship. Thank you.
today.